This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very good morning to all and sundry. This is BFM 89.9. It is the ripe, nice, early time of 6 o'clock in the morning. We found ourselves September 4th, 2020. In front of me is the lovely Wong Xiaoning, and I am your host with the most.
Chuang, that was almost Chuang. A rap.
Yeah?
That was almost a rap.
That was almost a rap, but it came from the 70s, I think. How are you this morning, darling?
Right. Pretty good. Yeah? I'm very happy that the weekend officially starts kind of now, right?
Yeah. Yes, kind of, but you still got to get through the next 12 hours, and that might entail some a four-letter word that ends with K. work. Yeah. Yeah, so...
But today is a special day, by the way.
Yes, it is. Back in the day, many things happened September 4th, hundreds of years ago. But most notably, where you and I are concerned, and another 50-odd people in this place, is the fact that BFM turns 12 this year.
So happy birthday, BFM. And I think most important is to thank the listeners who have been with us on this journey, who have tuned in every day on BFM 89.9, whether at home or in the car, on the way to work, or maybe doing their errands. We couldn't have come so far without y'all.
Well, not due to the small fact that there's been no other game in town. So if you wanted a daily dose of business and finance and economics, we're the only game in town. But you've had no choice.
I don't think it's because there's no choice. I think I would like to think it's because we provide a difference in information.
Changing the way people's lives live and work.
Yeah, I mean, I always think, we've done our job. If for the day someone goes away, learn something, we encourage some conversation, some thought-provoking, ideas, then it's been a good day for us as radio presenters.
So BFM turns 12, and in most cases, 12 marks the advent of teenagehood. So does that mean BFM has got to finally grow up? Does that mean it starts to sprout whiskers and loses its voice and becomes deep?
I think we will find that out from the founder himself later at 8:45.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Where we will be speaking to Malik Ali about radio in the new digital age.
I wonder what he's going to say.
We'll find out.
So anyway, before we go on further, what's your news item for
next? I'm going to state the obvious about how important radio still is, despite the so many mediums out there.
Okay, so don't go away. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Toto with Rosanna, that seminal track from the 80s. I am Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning this morning on BFM. Now, of course, it is BFM's 12th birthday, which means we're about to become teenagers, and therefore it prompts the question of whether radio is still relevant and as warm and personal and as one-on-one as it used to be when it was first invented over 100 years ago. Xiaoning?
Yeah, actually, this is an article from the United Nations, it's UN News, and it's not a new one. It's actually dated 12th of February, and the article is actually in a message for World Radio Day. But I think what it highlights, it hasn't changed at all, right? What is the purpose of radio, and what does it hope to achieve, and what does it bring? So I think for many of us, it's a good way, or it's an easy way, and it's practically a free way of getting information.
Yeah, it is. And you'd have to imagine that in this day and age of the internet and, all these broadcast systems, all it takes is a bit of a natural disaster or a bit of a lightning strike and, the whole system comes down. Or, your submarine cables gets disrupted by some great white shark or something. You never know nowadays, right?
It's
always been disrupted. And we've had outages. UniFi has oftentimes gone down. But radio has lived on. And I think in an era where there's a lot of human diaspora-ing, radio continues to be relevant because there will still be a large magnitude of the population who still need to be told what's happening in the world. And, in many parts of deepest, darkest Africa and Asia, radio is still number one.
Yeah, and I think one very important point is that, radio, you don't even really need electricity for it to work because somebody's invented, that radio where you can kind of turn the handle and then it kind of works like almost like a dynamo and then you can listen to information. But I think the other thing that radio has played a very important role, and this is from my childhood, is entertainment. And this is pre-TV, pre-Netflix, pre-Amazon, pre-movie days, where I remember as a child going to listen to these Chinese drama series every afternoon, every weekday afternoon, if I'm not wrong, I think it was 11:30 or 12 o'clock. And it was actually a time when my grandmother and I bonded to listen to this half an hour series.
I remember that, actually.
And actually, I don't even speak much. I'm not very fluent in Cantonese, but that's how I learned my little bit of Cantonese from. And the best time was, it was the time when my granny and I sat together for that half an hour, and that's how we bonded. And I think for a lot of older generation, that's actually how they got their entertainment. And I think even today, radio is still a form of entertainment. There's podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think what has changed also is that radio is now part of this omni-channel media kind of rollout. So you look at radio, within a radio station, there might be digital formats, there might be video, social media. So it's all interconnected.
Yeah, you're right. And I find it a little bit incongruous that with internet radio being very much a reality for the last decade at least, and, you know, in America, there's Sirius Radio, XM, and all that, all these kind of things. And radio continues to be, I find it a bit, it's almost surprising that radio still is relevant today. And then when you look at the financials of many media companies around the world, and just point at Astro, right, for example, their radio revenues have been really consistent and really, really reliable the last few years, despite all this internet this and internet that. I find it astounding. Of course, you're not going to get 10, 20% growth, but it's there. It's not like print, which is dying. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, I think the reality for media outlets, including BFM, is how do you pivot to the new normal? Because you can't actually really rely anymore on just voices on air, right? Because people consume radio in different forms and different formats.
Yeah,
so I think, for like some of us who, you know, maybe we don't commute so much anymore, but we still want to listen to this particular program, especially, let's say, The Breakfast Grill, The Ringgit Sense, or, you know, Power Vantage. You can do that via the podcast at any time, right?
Yeah. If there's anything which is going to unsettle the radio status quo, it's the advent of podcasting. And, you know podcasting has arrived when Spotify pays Joe Rogan $100 million to get his podcast unvarnished and, you know, undistilled onto their platform. Although there's been some issues, I think, recently. But by and large, podcasting is what radio was back in the day. It's basically a few people talking on air and reaching. It's very personal, you see, radio. That's the thing about radio. And when you listen to it in your car, whether on podcast or FM radio, it's just you and the other guy. It's very, very real.
Yeah, especially for talk radio, right?
Yeah.
I think also because when we, even like us in the studio, Chuang, when we're doing our show, it's actually a conversation in many ways between you and I.
Yeah.
It's and then this third person who might be listening wherever he is or she is.
Yeah, you get the sense that it's less about the content and more about the person. That's why I think I've always told people, if you're on radio, you must always try and, I don't know, for want of a better word, never be neutral. You either get people to like you or they get people to dislike you. That's the normal modus operandi. If you're Switzerland, you know, you're like a color, you're gray. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily agree because I think some radio channels take a very neutral approach and basically just want to inform. I mean, a classic is probably the BBC, right? Who has been around for 100 years.
Well, let's get specific here. If you are listening out there, tell us what you think. Tell us why you listen to radio and tell us specifically why you listen to BFM radio, if you can. 1-8-789-8899 is the WhatsApp or tweet at BFM radio, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on BFM's 12th birthday. Good morning, everybody. I just want to wish and thank, basically, some of our listeners who have chimed in with comments on WhatsApp. Robert, who kindly sends the HCO brief and very interesting statistics and news to us very early in the morning. Robert, thank you for your wishes. Ro also saying happy birthday, BFM, from me. Happy birthday from me. Ro, thank you for your cryptic messages. Very often amusing and always entertaining. Thank you for your wishes as well.
Yeah, and Johnson weighs in. He says, radio keeps me awake during long drives. Also keeps me informed. I love BFM as I hate clowns.
some clowns are funny.
Yeah, some clowns are funny. If he only saw us in the studio, what we're up to sometimes. But we have someone else who also WhatsApp in. He says the podcast facilitates communication anytime, everywhere, and when I'm on the go. But he tunes into BFM radio because it really delivers the news that matters and offers thought-provoking, innovative discussions that for everyday living. And I'm glad you think so because, yeah, really, that is what we hope to do every day.
Yes, thank you for all your kind comments and keep them coming on this auspicious day, at least in BFM's world, the 12th birthday. So because it is BFM, because it is 20 minutes past 6, it's always time to talk about the zeitgeist. And the zeitgeist in our current day and time is about the working from home phenomenon. And this very interesting article from The Atlantic points out that in order to have a job without a workplace, You must first build an office of the mind. Very astute, very deep comment, but also very accurate, because all these things like structure, routine, focus, socialization, networking, and then I think more importantly as well in this day, age, stress relief, its creation is almost entirely up to you, because you don't have your bosses or your colleagues or your parents or any of these peer groups in your mind telling you how to structure these things. And it's very important as well, because in order to deliver order from the chaos, you must first know how to structure the chaos in your head.
Wow, very deep, Truong. But the problem is...
Try.
I don't know how easy that's going to be achieved, you know, because it's... You can have, yes, you know in your mind that you need to have this kind of compartmentalization of work and home, right? And your social life. And I think that you're supposed to do that. But if anything, the fact that you're working from home, these lines get particularly blurred.
Yeah, they
even
do.
In your mind.
Yes,
okay?
They do.
So the physical gets blurred because your dining table has become your office, right? And there's no demarcation between the home and work. And the other thing which I have learned to force myself is when I work from home is you have no... The other demarcation is that you don't change your clothes. You know, you're literally like schlepping around in whatever you're wearing, right?
Looks around in a guilty fashion.
So then you have that. And then in between all of the chaos is sometimes you get interrupted by, you know, kids, family, and you can't say no to them, right? Sometimes there's an emergency. You might be able to lock the door, but like we learned from that BBC television program, the kid will somehow miraculously come into the room, and what can you do?
I mean,
we've also done so many podcasts with so many calls with our different guests where dogs are barking in the background, kids are screaming, but it's a new normal, and I even hear that on BBC. I hear that on Bloomberg Radio. It's the new normal. So I don't know. Your mind can try, but the reality is going to be very, very different.
I think in order to look at the COVID virus with any kind of positivity and to look at it from a glass half full perspective, this phenomenon is positive for the human being, because the human being has tended in many civilizations around the world tended to rely on the states and the government or whatever structure it is, whether it's your faith or the government, to impose order in your life. One should always take charge of oneself and impose that order onto oneself without having to rely on that autonomous third party outside influence.
But some people,
I think so.
Do you think some people need the office though, Trump?
Some
because
people do.
I have to say, when, you know, not everyone is going to be so committed or disciplined.
Discipline is very important.
And also deliver what they're supposed to, because they'll come up with 1,001 excuses,
correct,
even in the office, and then it becomes 2,001 excuses when they work from home.
Correct. And then the marketplace will write itself, because if you don't do your job, if you don't deliver what you're supposed to deliver, you will fall behind and then you'll eventually lose your job. That's why the marketplace, the office, your employment, it's almost like the share market, right? It will find its price. It'll find its price. And if you don't shape up, you ship out. Simple as that.
Yeah, but I think certain things do help in terms of that, you know, working from home environment and in your mind. And compartmentalizing is one thing, but also being strict about it. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So you must know when to draw the line in the sand, and enough. And I have to confess, that is something I am extremely bad at doing.
Yeah. One of the people that I work with is a workaholic, and she has done so much work in the last 10 years, and she has not been, you know, so focused on her exercise or on her health. She's now developed back pain and neck pain to the point that she's had to stop all work and go for several operations. And, I think there's a real damage that you have to consider that might happen to you if you don't take charge and have that discipline to say...
You also have that mental fatigue.
Yes.
Yeah, and some people have that.
And you're not as creative as if you were energetic and had a full night of sleep. So after 6-7 hours or whatever, it's time to go up and go for a walk. Take your dog for a walk. Go and see your neighbors. Go and say hi. Go and smell the roses.
But there will always be times, and I think this is inevitable, you know, somehow work will pile on, that task that you're supposed to do becomes a priority. So when is too much?
Yeah, so I must ask you, because I think you're one of those people that once you get stuck in, you know, you really get stuck in and then you don't, do you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that every half an
hour... I confess I have worked before literally from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, so how are you dealing with it? Are you first aware that there's an issue?
Yeah, there is an issue.
Because that's the first point of call.
I realized that day I was like, oh, you're a little crazy, Shaoning. You know, time to dial it down a little bit. But, you know, sometimes work is work. It's one of those odd days, I tell myself, but don't repeat it, woman. Don't be stupid.
I think what you do right is you have this discipline for exercise, which is always very good. I think the question to everybody is really, how are you dealing with this new normal, and how are you able to demarcate your life into all the necessary components? Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Cake with Love You Madly. I am Chuang. Join my shouting on this day, 12th birthday for BFM Radio. Happy birthday, us. I want to read some tweets out from some of our listeners. Darth Vade, hey man, how are you? Thank you for your kind wishes. And of course, our own Rumley Syrup, very kind comments to you. Thank you for the birthday wishes.
I think his comments are worth reading out, Chuang.
Very much.
He goes like, why BFM? Best
freaking music. Number two, still use radio alarm clock at MediCompo. And three, a bit self-endearing here. Great shows and presenters. Kind words, of course, complimentary. And of course, lastly, rewarding, endearing listener participation. Thank you, Rumley Syrup.
Yeah, we really
love you madly.
Yeah, and I think honestly, we couldn't have come so far without all our listeners who tune in almost like daily on their way to work or even, you know, whatever they're up to. I know some people have it in the background in the morning while they go about their day. Also, Cheryl Fazli, I don't have any other alternative radio station other than BFM. Other stations are too mainstream with no mind of its own. Kudos BFM, happy birthday. And Roy says he's living abroad. There's no competition. Thanks for letting people know. I think it's like amazing, you know, that people are, because of the internet, you can listen no matter where you are. And although we only broadcast within the Klang Valley, people do tune in from whether it's Penang or even Kota Kinabalu. Singaporeans, I know, tune in quite a bit.
Or is it Malaysians
who are in Singapore?
Yeah, back in the day, Malaysians would tune in to Capital Radio in England because they missed the London days. And then people who maybe they live in London tuning into BFM because they miss Malaysia. And why not, right? Okay, well, since we're talking about the radio world and the media world, our focus shifts to the Hong Kong part of the world. And in apparently that part of the world, a court has found the media mogul Jimmy Lai. Jimmy Lai runs, I think, Apple Daily, one of the most popular daily newspapers there. Found Jimmy Lai not guilty of intimidating a photojournalist from a rival newspaper 3 years ago. Lai had denied the charge of criminal intimidation, quote-unquote, over a 2017 incident at the Tiananmen Massacre vigil. Apparently, the incident involved a clash with a reporter from Oriental Daily, a newspaper viewed as pro-Beijing. That is a fierce competitor to Apple Daily, because Apple Daily itself and Jimmy Lai have been vehement opposers of Beijing.
Yeah, and also all the recent national security law. But Lai is also facing several other charges over last year's anti-government protests. He was detained last month by police under this, like I said, this under controversial new security law. China's The Global Tie said that Lai's newspaper, Apple Daily, had been instigating hatred, spreading rumours and smearing Hong Kong authorities and the mainland for years. And Lai is one of the only tycoons in Hong Kong who is openly critical of Beijing. And of course, like what you mentioned, Chuang, he's a prominent supporter of the months-long reform protests that swept Hong Kong last year.
Yeah, he was the highest profile figure to be detained under the new laws, and he was detained along with 9 other activists over allegations, including collusion with foreign forces. If charged and convicted, they could face up to life in jail. And of course, this is interesting because media owners, I think if you follow the formula, tend not to influence coverage, but I guess in the case of Apple Daily and Jimmy Lai, he does. Okay, switching to India. Now, Twitter says the account for Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, that his personal website has been hacked. Apparently, a series of tweets were sent from Modi's account asking followers to donate cryptocurrency to a relief fund.
Yeah, Twitter said it was aware of the activity and had taken steps to secure the compromised account. This is the latest high-profile Twitter security breach after similar attacks 2 months ago. Remember, I think it was Joe Biden, Tesla founder Elon Musk, and if I'm not wrong, even Obama had all these tweets, right? And unfortunately, some people actually handed over their cash.
Really? Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh. Well, that's the thing, right? These platforms, they should have the privacy, they should have the protection, and they say they have the protection on their platforms, but evidently they don't. In fact, in July, Twitter said 130 accounts had been targeted in a major cyber attack, the celebrity accounts, but only a small subset of those 130 accounts had control seized by the attacker. As you say, Barack Obama, Elon Musk, even Kanye West and Bill Gates. you know, they apparently tweeted a Bitcoin scam and millions of followers. Well, I guess if it's coming from Barack Obama, you might just say, okay lah, I help my old friend Barry, right?
But I think the point is, you know, if anybody's asking you for money on Facebook, whether it's WhatsApp, whether it's on Twitter, please think twice before you send money anywhere else. It has become a case where the FBI have been called in and attackers were able to bypass the account security because they had gained access to Twitter's own internal administration tools. So the point is, even though you might have the best firewall, the best software engineers, there's some guy out there that's moving just a little bit faster than you. So nothing is really secure out there in the World Wide Web.
And we must mention this interesting, Jan, because even if you're 6'5", even if you're a wrestling legend, even if you've got muscles on top of your muscles, which are then built on muscle, you will still might get...
Which doesn't describe us strong.
No, it does not. Definitely not me. Because Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his family contracted COVID-19 2 weeks ago. And he described the positive tests as a kick in the gut because, you know, obviously, you know, you don't expect, you know, yourself at your vintage or your fitness or your health to be susceptible, but he did.
Well, which is a good reminder or, you know, sad reminder that COVID-19 knows doesn't discriminate. You can come from whatever social class. You can be rich, you can be poor, and unfortunately, you can be infected. So please practice the physical distancing. Wash your hands. Those SOPs remain very relevant to today.
SOPs, that's right. Okay, it is quarter to, 7 o'clock in the morning. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. That was the Wilson Brothers and the Beach Boys with Surfing USA. Now, before we get into the newspapers like we normally do at this time of morning, a couple more WhatsApps have come in. Christina sending very kind wishes to all of us. Happy birthday, BFM, she says. Have been listening to all of you since the beginning. That was like 12 years ago, I guess. And apparently, even when travelling, she still tunes in. So thank you, Christina. Kind words.
And we also have a WhatsApp from WM Ho who says, happy birthday, excellent news content, intelligent presenters. Oh, thank you. The music, I hope he means us.
Maybe and, the collective.
Yeah, the collective. And have a good one. Yeah, we honestly, like I say many times today, we couldn't have done it without all our listeners.
Okay, let's switch our attention to those newspapers. And I think the Star bears mentioning because we find ourselves in the Klang Valley, the victims of another unintended and surprise water disruption. And the Star's treatment of the issue is actually quite intelligent today because they have gone on the front page with the dirty water horror issue because a lot of pipes in Malaysia, especially in the urban centres, are old, are rusty, you know, obviously clogged up because of all the stuff that is in the pipes. And that's interesting because they've decided to take this angle in a very apt and appropriate way. Dirty, rusty pipes. And, you know, obviously while the water may look clean, it's actually not very clean, not enough to drink anyway.
I think the other problem or another issue that our water system face in Malaysia is that there are a lot of leakages. So there's a lot of non-revenue water being wasted and we know it's a finite resource. But the other point I wanted to ask is that apparently this water cut is due to contamination and that's the headline for the New Straits Times who has kind of come up with a bit of a pun in their headline. It goes like, what? The pain. Okay, so it's a water pain. And of course, residents are unhappy. They're demanding urgent solutions and punishment. And that's my point. This is not the first time there's been contamination. I'm curious to know what has happened in the previous times. What kind of punishment did we impose on these guilty people who affected millions of residents across the Klang Valley?
Yeah, of course, and the government tends to say, we shall leave no stone unturned, but, you know, all the stones left unturned. page 5 of the Star saying that, pointing out that America's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention lists Malaysia as one of 187 countries in the world where the tap water is not safe to drink without first boiling or disinfecting it first. And also the next story pointing out that sometimes you might even find dead decomposing animals inside, like pigeons or rats, because that's where they've gone to hide. Front page of the Malaysian Reserve choosing this morning to go with the Kampung Baru land issue. Now, they're pointing out, I think also quite appropriately, that the over 1,000 ringgit per square foot offered by the previous government to modernise the Malay enclave in the heart of KL may no longer reach that lofty valuation. And they're pointing out that it could even go below 850 ringgit per square foot.
I'm not surprised, considering how soft the property market is. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the CEO, the HCO daily report, and I'm looking at some market news because maybe this explains why glove stocks have been taking a bit of a breather after hitting highs we saw earlier last month. So Comfort Glove largest shareholder, Brian Lau, he sold 14.41% stake in his company. He's not the only one. The Lim family, which controls Kosan Rubber Industries, have also been trimming their stake in the glove manufacturing firm. They sold, the last transaction done was $8.38 million. In total, apparently between April and August 28, they sold $55.03 million. So what is this? What kind of signal does this send out to markets when the insiders are selling?
Well, obviously, it's almost irresistible, right? If you've already been made $100 million heir, or even a billionaire in some cases, the temptation could prove too strong to resist. Page 8 at The Star, pointing out from Dr. Wee Ka Siong that Rotech's gracious period has been extended. So if you have not paid your Rotech for more than 36 months, you cannot be... Any Rotech that has not been paid for not more than 36 months can now be renewed without having the vehicle inspected. But this applies only to private vehicles. And then I think I want to mention one more story. Convert Light Street in Penang, because it's Penang, obviously.
Your hometown.
My hometown.
The center of the universe.
The apogee of the galaxy. So Convent Light Street in Penang is a heritage, you know, school, right? Lots of heritage buildings. They found a new owner in the form of Ace Adventure Group, and they're going to take over the CLS, the group. And of course, this is the same group that operates Sirius Scholar in Subang Jaya, Sri Emas in PJ, and Dwi Emas in Shah Alam. So the White Knight has arrived on
I hope they keep the building
horse.
As it is.
I hope they do too.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the Singapore Straits Times, and it's actually an article on Malaysia because Dr. M targets 30 seats for his new party, says a Plan Youth faction won't do well. And I wonder what he means by the Plan Youth faction.
Maybe those grapes have turned sour. I don't know.
Well, he hopes Pejuang, that's his party, will win at least 30 seats in the next general elections and they will become a kingmaker.
Yeah, because that's what the Malaysian Reserve is going with on page 3. They want to be the kingmaker. It's drawn skepticism from political observers because obviously the slim by-election, by some indications, did not inspire confidence. But yeah, they want to go with 30 seats. And even certain people, I think University of Science Malaysia political scientist Dr. Azmil Tayeb, said it's unclear where support for the party will come from because Pejuang has to compete with UMNO and PAS for Malay votes, while non-Malay voters would vote for DAP and PKR instead. He was quoted as saying that I'm incredulous with Dr. Mather's claim that Pejuang will be the kingmaker. It might get really lucky in G15 and win a handful of seats due to fragmented Malay votes, but a kingmaker, it is not.
We'll have to watch this space. I think everyone's trying to guess when the next general elections will be, right? But first up, of course, is the Sabah state elections that's going to be happening on the 26th of September. I think it's going to be an interesting time. And of course, at BFM, we will be covering that story very, very closely.
Okay, 6 minutes to 7 o'clock. And we are going to be coming back after this with a 7 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, our markets and analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.